I'd like to call this talk Feeling Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Maimon Har Sinai. Those are the parshas that we just read. We read about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Parshas Boy, Bishalach, we just read about Kriyas Yamsuf, and this Shabbos we read about Parshas Yisroi, which is Maimon Har Sinai. And I say feeling them advisedly, because the truth of the matter is that everything that we know intellectually starts in the heart and ends in the heart. And unless we realize that, and unless we access that connection back and forth, we really miss out on what's really happening. And allow me to explain. First of all, we say every day, we ask Hashem, V'sein b'libeinu lehovinu lahaskil. Please put in our hearts the ability to understand and to have seichel. It's a havona, the depth of understanding, and seichel is maybe the judgment of understanding, but put it in our hearts. So it sounds like the heart is a starting point. If we don't have it in our hearts, lehovin ula haskil, then we may not ever be able to reach that lehovin ula haskil. That means the heart has to be primed, it has to be motivated, it has to be wanting, willing, maybe even desirous of this wisdom. Otherwise, the Lehovinu Lahaskil is not necessarily going to take place. On the other hand, we see just the other side, the flip side. We say in Oleinu every day, it's a pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan, V'yodato hayoim v'hashevoiso elevovecho ki Hashem hu elokim v'shmai mimal v'aloritz mitochas einoid. Know it, you know it this day, and return it v'hashevoiso sesuv lelibuch, the Targum says, return it to your heart ki Hashem hu elokim. It seems that even knowledge that we have acquired, v'yodato hayoim, and here Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to a Klal Yisrael who knew Hashem hu elokim. They went through the Yetzias Mitzrayim, they went through the Yamsuf, they stood at Har Sinai, they spent 40 years in the Midbar, eating man every day, and in the Anan Yaakov, and the Amud Eish, and the Slov, and the Be'er, and all this, and he even reviewed all of these things with them during that speech. And he says, you've got to return it to your heart, as if the heart forgets, as if the heart loses. And there's a Hashabbos Aveda process. So it seems that Yediyah, knowledge of Hashem, knowledge of Torah, knowledge of all of that Torah represents and teaches us, begins in the heart. We ask that we should be, the heart should be ready, lehovinu lahaskil, and has to constantly be returned to the heart. On a regular shivoisa is to be this all the time. Return it to your heart. Return it. Return what? Yashem u'elikim. We know that. Yeah, we know that. But it has to be, again, internalized and refocused in the heart. So the heart is really the critical organ in any process of understanding, both in the initial stages and in the ongoing awareness and maintaining of that wisdom. And therefore, I think a concept of feeling the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Maimon Har Sinai is a very appropriate subject for these parshiyos. What does it mean? The heart involved, the heart, return it to the heart, and make the heart ready to the Lehovinu Lahaskil. And the truth of the matter is, it's a very simple fact of life. Although, unfortunately, too many people in this world are not aware of it for some strange reason, that it all begins and ends in the heart. We hear information, knowledge, evidence, testimony, whatever it may be. But if the heart isn't open to internalize that message, if the heart isn't ready to receive it, if the heart isn't ready to go along with it, if the heart doesn't feel the benefits that it's going to get from it, or the need, or the importance of it, It doesn't go in. It has to be v'sein b'libein u'lahovin u'lahaskil. Lahovin u'lahaskil, seichel. Seichel will not go in. Havona will not go in. Great wisdom will not go in, even though it's so blatantly obvious, but the heart is not ready. How do we get the heart ready? What makes the heart ready? Well, I want to suggest that in these parshiyos, as much as we have the testimony of millions of eyewitnesses to the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim, to the miracles that took place on the Yam Suf, and to the miraculous revelation that took place in front of the entire Klal Yisrael, a nation of at least a few million of Hoshis, the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking directly to them, and speaking directly and appointing Moshe Rabbeinu as his official Novi Barvur Yishma Om Bedabri Imoch Vegam Bechoya Aminu Le'olam in front of the entire nation. These parshas offer us a unique heart motivation as well. Let me explain. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Boy explains that he describes all the Nisim, and he describes how all of these Nisim are makhish, all of the deus koizvois, all of the false ideas and beliefs that the nations of the world had, that the world was a kadmoin, there's no creator, that the creator is not involved any longer, that the creator doesn't talk to people, that he doesn't really care what goes on in the lowly world beneath, he's only in the world up above, and all of these things. Yetzias Mitzrayim showed it all, that millions of people witnessed events, miraculous events, upheaval of all the laws of nature, being told by Moshe Rabbeinu that they're going to come, when they're going to come, what they are that are going to come, and when and how they're going to be removed, and the whole unfolding of the Makas, the Aseres HaDibros, Nisim Gluyim. Literally, the Ramban says, we witnessed creation in motion. We didn't witness creation as it happened originally, because Adam HaRishon was created at the end, but we witness creation in motion. And then he says, min hanisim hagedolim, min hanisim hagedolim hamefursomim, oda moide benisim hanistorim, sheim yesoid hatoira kula. He says, from the nisim gedolim, we can come to admit in the nisim hanistorim, in the hidden miracles, which are the foundation of the whole Torah. There's no question that everybody wants miracles in his life. Everybody wants to feel the divine hashkocha. Everybody wants to feel that he's going to be helped and in whatever endeavor he undertakes. Everybody wants to feel that he can rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his parnosa and for his health and for his atzlocha and for his housing and his clothing and his children and his nachas and everything in life that we want, that we need, that we so direly crave to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everybody wants to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved with every little thing. Everybody wants to feel that nothing is too small for him. Everybody wants to feel that anything that I desire, he desires. That he is concerned and involved in even the smallest wishes that I have, whether it be necessities, whether it be luxuries, the comfort, the menuchas ha-nefesh, not to mention the success itself in these things. If a person knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, it's overwhelming. This is really where it's at. Not only that, once I know that he's involved, then I know where to turn. I know to whom to pray. I know who to count on. I know who to hope for. I know who to rely on and to trust that he's going to deliver for me. So, wow. I have a tremendous resource of achieving everything I want in life with an amazing menuchas ha-nefesh because he's involved, he's taking care, he's in charge, he cares, he loves, he gets involved in the most minute details, he's there for me. Wow. So I have a means of achieving, he helps me to achieve the things I want, and I feel so comfortable and so at peace and so tranquil in the process, nothing could be better. And that's really what Yetzias Mitzrayim, and of course the Kriyas Yamsuf, capped that completely. Kriyas Yamsuf was really a tremendous lesson in Bitochon, the famous Orachayim HaKodesh, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, he's crying out to Hashem, and Hashem says, V'yomer Hashem al Moshe, Matitzak Elai, Dabre Obnei Yisrael V'yisoh, and the Orachayim asks, Matitzak Elai, who else should I call to? And he says, there was a kitrig on the Klal Yisrael because of whatever they did in Mitzrayim, and the Sotan would interfere with the Tefillah, and Tefillah was not going to work, but Bitochon and Emunah could work. Go into the Yamsuf. Just go in. Show your trust. Show your confidence. Show your emunah. Show your bitochin. And the sea will split and you'll be saved from Paro and all the tzaras. Just a tremendous lesson. And we want. Oh, if this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducted himself in the past, and if we can examine the eyewitness testimony to these events, wow, there's nothing I want more. My heart is primed. Bilibeinu lahovinu lahaskil. And I want to look, and if I start to look with an open heart, because I'm aware of the benefits that I will receive from these realizations and from the recognition and appreciation and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then wow, count me in, I'm game, that's what I want. And then when we start to look at the events, It's something that's so overwhelming, because just the fact that the testimony unique in all of human history, that millions of eyewitnesses witnessed events that were totally miraculous and passed it on meticulously to their children. Each one of them passing on to their children, written down in Sifrei Torah, passed down from generation to generation, taught father to son, celebrated not just at the Seder with the whole expansive discussion and conversation and rendition of all of the events that took place, each person creating, I imagine, millions or hundreds of millions or maybe even billions of chains of transmission from that generation right down to today, because everybody sits at the Seder. And everybody hears the story. And most people sit at the Seder at some point with three generations, hearing it from their parents and checking out where their parents heard it as well. And this has been going on for thousands of years, uninterrupted, which in itself is just a tremendous statement of testimony. Put that in contrast to a world that refuses to claim public miracles. The best of the religions claim things in private. I wonder why. We'll leave that for another time. So it's a tremendous sense of chizuk. But the chizuk works because I want it. I'm open-minded because I know there are benefits. If I don't know there are benefits, my heart is closed. I don't want to pay attention. I don't want to hear. I put my fingers in my ears. I put my put a protective coating around my heart. I will not let it in. Then we come to Maamar Har Sinai. Maamar Har Sinai, also an event publicly witnessed, publicly experienced by an entire nation. An entire nation that heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, introducing himself, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, as the Creator who appeared in Mitzrayim and on the Yamsuf, and who you recognize time and again through all of those amazing creative acts and miracles that took place. And Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, Sheretz Yisichu Meretz Mitzrayim. And now I'm going to share with you the purpose of my creation, and the purpose of taking you out of Mitzrayim, and the formula for that good life, which is what I want to give you. That claim is also unprecedented in all of history. The concept of leap of faith is not a Jewish concept, because there's no need for a leap of faith. There's only need for an open heart. When I see the evidence, I see the testimony, and not only was this publicly attested, but again, written down in a volume, passed down, read publicly in every generation, passed from generation to generation, parents teaching children, father to son, not just celebrating at a Seder, but teaching every day the mitzvah, v'shinantom levonecho v'tibartobom, v'shivtecho b'veisecho v'lechtecho b'aderecho v'shoch b'chov kumecho, k'sharotom lo yisal yodecho, l'teitoves b'ineinecho, v'zuz b'veisecho v'shorecho, and tzitzis, and sukkah, and pinyin aben, and all Shabbos, and yontif, and all the mitzvah yitzias Mitzrayim, Maimon Har Sinai becomes a reality because of all of the reminders that we have of the revelation of Hashem, the realization of Hashem, and then He came to us at Har Sinai, and we've been passing this down from generation to generation. And once again, nobody amongst the nations makes a claim of public revelation. Of course, we know that so many of the religions copied so much from us. Nobody ever copied that claim. The only five religions there are that claim that such an event took place, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Sikhism, and Baha'i, and they all say it happened to the Jews at Sinai. Interesting. I guess you can't really fabricate such a claim unless it happened, because there are too many people who might say, oh, the emperor has no clothes, you know, there's something going on over here. This is a hoax. If it's not a reality, they're not going to get away with it. And the truth of the matter is that when it comes to Maimon Har Sinai, there's a sandwich. I love to partake in this sandwich. It's a very significant sandwich. Before the Aseres HaDibros, which is the actual revelation, the Torah says, reminds us, Atem ro'isem asher asisi b'mitzrayim. The Pasuk says, you saw. Talking to the Klal Yisrael that are the recipients of this volume that are passing this down to their children. Wait a moment. What I did in Mitzrayim. The end of the Aseres HaDibros, after the Aseres HaDibros, there's another slice. Atem re'isem kimin hashomayim dibarti imochem. You saw that I spoke to you min hashomayim. You saw what happened in Mitzrayim. You saw that I spoke to you min hashomayim. Now these two psukim are very significant. Why? And there are maybe 50 more like them. Because they say that the testimony that's passed down to the next generation by this generation of eyewitnesses is not hearsay. We're saying, oh, there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a Maimon Har Sinai. There was or there wasn't. You believe there was. Maybe I choose to believe there wasn't. But I testify to my children. Atem Re'isem. Here's a book that says, I saw it, my son. I saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. I saw the miracles. I saw Maimon Har Sinai. And I pass it on to you. That means I'm testifying personally to the next generation through this volume that refers to me as an eyewitness. I'm testifying that this is the next generation. This is what happened. Now you know. Pass it on to your children. This document was not tampered with. It was passed on accurately from one generation to the next. Every Sefer Torah that we find any place in the world, no matter how far away and separate they've been, we find them to have the same text, the same language, the same mitzvahs, and the same stories, and the same words. Identical. It's been translated into every language in the world as well, and not corrupted to this very day. So we have this constant, ongoing testimony, which is based on eyewitnesses at Maimon Har Sinai who testify to their children directly through the teaching of the Torah to the next generation and the public reading and observance of all the mitzvahs that support this testimony, because the testimony says you got to do this, 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 this. Well, that's what we do. We've been doing it for thousands of years. The same tefillin, the same tzitz, the same mezuzah, the same sukkah, the same lulav, the same matzah, the same sibur yitzias Mitzrayim. B'chulei, b'chulei. But why should the heart want this? What's the heart motivation? What's the v'sein b'libeinu lohovinu lahaskil when it comes to Maimon Har Sinai? And here I think it's very simple. We know that more than anything else, everybody wants to be happy. That's what we want. We want to be happy. We know that we need a definition for happiness. Otherwise, we can keep searching for it forever and not to find it. Because you don't know what you're looking for, you won't find it. We know from our Loshon HaKodesh that Osher, the Aleph Shin Reish Shoyrish is a very high form of happiness. David HaMelech said, Acha Shualti Beis Hashem, Shivti Beis Hashem. That's all he wanted, to sit Beis Hashem. And about one who sits Beis Hashem, he said, Ashrei Yushvei Beis Secho. So that Aleph Shin Reish Shoyrish is a high, if not the highest form of happiness. And the Shoyrish, it seems, means the concept of Ishur, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about oneself. A person who feels good about himself, the world is his. A person who doesn't feel good about himself doesn't want any part of this world. Now, a most critical ingredient, and probably the ingredient that depresses the world more than any other ingredient emotionally, is purpose in life, or the lack thereof. If a person feels he has no purpose in life, he's finished. What's the point? Especially, it ain't easy, this life. Without purpose, no. Hey, with purpose, it's hard enough. Without purpose, number one. Number two, if I have some dumb purpose that I chose for myself and underrates and understates the qualities and capabilities that I have, I also can't feel very good about myself. This is my purpose. That's all it is. I can't do better than this. Get a menial job when I feel I could be a, who knows what, a rocket scientist. Not going to make me happy. It's not a good enough purpose. And taken to the third logical step, if it isn't the purpose for which I was put in this world, it also can't satisfy me enough. Because maybe this is not even the purpose. I made a purpose. Beautiful purpose. Sounds good. I like it. It makes me feel good. It boosts my ego. But I'm wasting my time because it's not the purpose for which I was put here. Who can know the true purpose of anyone or anything? Only the manufacturer. And it's only in the manual that the manufacturer gives us that we can know exactly the best and most appropriate way to use any piece of technology or whatever we have that we want to make use of. Parshas Yisroi gives us that manual. Parshas Yisroi gives us that sense of purpose. Parshas Yisroi tells us that this is the manual from the Creator himself as he declared and showed himself beyond anyone's doubt in Mitzrayim and came to Har Sinai and again publicly revealed himself, publicly stated, here's my manual, this is what it's all about, this is your purpose, this is your true purpose. And we now have, by recognizing this, and by studying this, and by mastering the directives of that manual, a manual which was revealed publicly so there should be no doubt, and passed down accurately from generation to generation. Wow, now I can know my true purpose in life, and now I can be happy. And if I can know my true purpose in life, if I could be happy, and if I could have a motivation to want to recognize Hashem because of the Hashgacha Protis and the Bitochon and the connection and the reliance and the Menuchas and Nefesh that I can get from Him. Wow, L'chera have it made. That's it. Everything now, I'm open. Let me study. Let me analyze. Let me understand. Let me see the evidence. Let me see the testimony. I come in with an open mind, because I see the potential benefit that it offers me. But the problem is the following. The Ramban, at the beginning of the Aseres HaDibrois, brings a Mechilta. The Mechilta says, Onoichi Hashem Elokecho v'lo yielecho. He says, Moshe l'melech, Melech comes to a city, and the people see the Melech, and they say, Melech, gzeir aleinu gzeiros. Please, make rules for us. So, very nice. So the Melech responds, Im malchusi iatem mekablim, hech tekaimu gzeiro yisai. If you don't accept my malchus, how do you think you're going to keep my laws? Koidem, accept me as the melech, and then I'll make gzeiros for you. You'll listen to the gzeiros. And the question is, the question begs, they're asking, gzeiros leinu gzeiros. Of course we're accepting the melech. Say, please make rules for us. And it seems from the Mechilta that rules are so difficult. Rules are painful. Rules are overwhelming. Rules are limiting. Rules are resented almost. Rules are such a burden. I have to do this, all the responsibilities. The pressure is enormous. I can't handle it. It's beyond what anybody could take, especially serious rules, and especially rules that have to do with directives from the Creator himself, from the Melech himself. And therefore, the Melech says, first, you have to be Mekabel de Malchus in the abstract before you even focus on what the demands or what the specific demands are. Just recognize, I took you out of Mitzrayim. I created you. That in itself, Koinei Shomayim Va'oretz, that in itself entitles, I created you for a purpose. That entitles me to ask of you to keep the purpose. I took you out of Mitzrayim. That I'm a couple. I know I have to be loyal to you. You created me. You took me out of Mitzrayim. You gave me everything in life. I want to do your beck and call. Now it becomes more bearable because I've already been Mekabel. I know it's right. I know I want to do it. This one, that one, becomes less burdensome because I already accepted the Malchus. I already, in principle, we agreed. That's the way you negotiate, too. First, let's agree in broad principles. Then we can negotiate the details. That's what they've been trying to do for years now in many hotspots, and just doesn't work. But first, the general principles. Now, if that's the case, gzeiros, burdens, a manual with responsibilities other than privileges is very burdensome, is very overwhelming. You might not even be able to keep the gzeiros that you asked for if you just focus first on the gzeiros. So there's a problem. What do we do to resolve that problem? So I think the answer to that problem is twofold. Really very simple. Number one is one must be able to transpose the responsibilities and burdens as privileges. And I believe that's why Chazal were mesaken before we make a brocha, do a mitzvah, to make a brocha, birchas ha-mitzvahs. Asher kidishonu b'mitzvah yiso v'tzivonu. He was v'tzivonu. Tzivoy is painful. Tzivoy is overwhelming. Tzivoy is a responsibility. Oy, I can't take it. But asher kidishonu, he separated us. Ato kidashto kidishonu mikolo amim. He's bocha boni mikolo amim. He chose us. He sanctified us among v'orim amtonu mikolo l'shoyna. He's ato b'chartonu mikolo amim. After his son of tziso bonu. Oh, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to have the directives from the Bnei Olam, which are for the benefit of us. After he finishes telling us everything he wants, he says again, L'toiv loch, it's all for your benefit. I only give for your benefit. I only created you, l'hisaneg al Hashem. I only created you that you should have hanor. I only created you because I want to do chesed. It's all for you. It's all for your benefit. That transposes the burdens, the privileges. But there's one more, nekuda. And that is that this requires constant focus. We say Oleinu three times a day. That's probably not even enough to do the Hashevo Yisrael Levovecho, because Hashevo Yisrael Levovecho seems to be a loshen tmidis. Return it to your heart. How many times a day? All day long. Every day. Every moment of the day. To return it to your heart. Return. What do you mean Hashem Ulikim? I know. What are you talking about? so easy to block it out. It's so easy to lose focus. It's so easy to forget that the burdens are privileges. It's so easy to forget the testimony and the evidence that I've seen, I live through every day, that's been passed on from generation to generation, that every mitzvah that I do, every edus that I'm mekayim, and the Maimon Har Sinai and the Torah that I learn, and that it was passed down from generation to generation without a breach, without a break, without a stop. And it's so easy just to get confused, my mind is not, return it. It got lost. Where did it get lost? Well, the Yetzirah pushes it out because of the burden. I didn't mean the burdens are privileges. Yeah. Yesterday I made the burdens into privileges. I got to say again, Asher Kiddushonu. And every time you put on the tefillin, it's another Asher Kiddushonu. And every time you put on the tzitz, it's another Asher Kiddushonu. And every time Asher Kiddushonu, because we're so quick to forget. So we need that v'hashivuysa elavovecha in order to remind ourselves constantly, to return it to our hearts, because ultimately the seat of everything that we know, not just believe, again, the leap of faith is not our concept, but everything that we know is all dependent upon an open heart, which gives us an open mind to evaluate the situation, and a returning to the heart, which allows that any holes that exist in the heart, which allow things to seep out or sneak out, that we should be constantly returning it so we can review again and feel again in our hearts the basic truths of Torah Misinai, the basic truths of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Mitzius Hashem. And in that way, we can lead a life so confident that we're leading a life of purpose, so confident that we understand and know the truths because we feel them in our hearts, and so confident in that connection to the Bnei Olam that it was all about giving us this good life. And since it's all for our benefit, we walk around happy, we have a purpose that makes us happy, we feel good about what we're doing, and we don't have to be caught up in so many of the depressions and debilitating things that go around us in the world. When you ask people in the world about their purpose for life, what are they doing here, and they cannot articulate it, it's the saddest thing in the world. It's the greatest source of depression. Ashreinu matoiv chelkeinu, that we have that purpose, know that purpose, that we were chosen for that purpose, that purpose was revealed to us publicly and testified from these millions of eyewitnesses in written testimony that was passed down from generation to generation. Ashreinu matoiv chelkeinu.